And welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We're getting back towards some sense of normality.
Yeah.
The aggression is back down my road.
Good.
I've just been shouting at someone for hooting.
You've been shouting at someone?
Well, no, I mean, not at them directly, just sort of in general shouting. I mean, they're not going to hear me. They've passed in a van and I'm sitting in a room just with the window open. They're not going to actually hear me shouting at them, but it felt good.
Well, can I ask, did you see the cause of the hooting?
No, this is what pissed me off. This is what really annoyed me. There didn't seem to be any... He started hooting just before my house, okay? And I saw him pass as he continued to hoot, and then the hooting seemed to get louder and more aggressive as he went up the road. So I couldn't actually see whether there was any reason for hooting. Now, even if there was something ahead of him, sort of impeding his direction of travel, there's still no need to be hooting at that point. Just stop, be patient for a couple of seconds, see if whatever's there is going to move. If it was something that was a hazard, somebody pulling out of the side road ahead, I don't think hooting at the point he started hooting would be necessary. If he's saying hello to someone, fucking outrageous. I was really annoyed by that. Absolutely
what
no need for it.
What time was this?
We're recording now. It's just gone 1 o'clock. This was about half an hour ago, if that.
Oh, so it wasn't like it was, 5:30 in the morning or anything.
No, it doesn't really matter what time of day it is. There's no need for hooting like that. I can't understand it, Ben.
Well, you need to calm down.
It pisses me off. We did have a little bit of excitement down the road, though.
Yeah,
the other day, right? There was a hoot in the distance, and then screeching tyres, and then a massive noise of metal colliding with metal.
Oh, dear.
So I'm thinking, oh, there's been a little collision. And then about six police officers running down the road, one of them doing all that stuff, right? Turn him right now. And then about three policemen reappeared about 2-3 minutes later with a woman under arrest.
Ooh.
So I don't know what happened. And when I went out later to the shop, there were two cars at the end of the road just completely battered in at the front.
Now, I remember a while ago, back on our days of breakfast radio presenters, when we were taking the piss out of Croydon, because I used to live there, you still do.
Yeah.
And we got a fairly shitty message from, so fair enough, but we got a fairly shitty message from someone saying, oh, thanks for bad-mouthing Croydon.
Yes.
I'm from Croydon.
Yeah.
There is a reason you bad-mouth Croydon.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some days it's exciting.
Yeah.
But other days you sort of think, oh, I don't need this today. And then here's a weird thing. I haven't used my car. Well, I used my car for the first time this week since lockdown.
Did it work?
Surprise, surprise, it didn't start first
time.
Well,
there you go.
But we got it up and running. It's fine. It's working now. But just a few days ago, before I'd even arranged to go out and meet someone and get in the car, I looked out and there was something on my windscreen in a plastic, like those plastic envelopes?
Yeah.
Like, you have in a folder, those plastic things.
This doesn't sound good.
Well, that's what I thought. I was already annoyed before I'd seen it. I thought, some bastard put some note. I'm outside my house. There's no reason for anyone to put any note on my car.
I was thinking it was going to be some sort of fine.
Well, that was the other thing. I thought, if anyone's fining me for anything, again, I was all ready to go. Now, when I eventually got out and got the thing, it wasn't anything to be really annoyed about, but it still pissed me off a little bit, right? So I got this bit of paper out of the plastic envelope. It says, now I've got an old car, right? It's not in the best condition, but it runs. It gets me from A to B most of the time. I can't afford a new car. It's not like I'm earning a lot of money, right? So as long as I've got a car that works, I'm happy. I don't think it's anyone's business what car I've got.
Okay.
There's a thing on here. Are you looking to sell this car? Same day collection, same day payment. We do the following: scrap cars, write-offs, non-runners, dispose and removal. Fuck off. It's a decent enough car, mate.
So do you think they put that there because they'd seen it hadn't moved for a while?
I reckon so, and because it looks a bit old and one of the tyres was flat. So whether they just thought it's an old banger that's been left. But even so, you don't leave things on my car.
Well, that's fair enough. I have a similar experience myself when I used to live in Croydon, funnily enough.
Yeah.
I hadn't used my car for a while. I can't remember the reason why. I think it might have had a problem with it for a while. So it was on the driveway for a few days. And I had someone knock at the door. And I said, hello. And they said, that car, pointing at mine.
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And they said, well, we've been driving up and down for the last few weeks and we've noticed it hasn't moved. Would you like to sell it to us?
Fucking cheek.
Well, it is cheeky, but I think more than cheeky, it's fucking creepy.
I know.
It translates to me as, we've been observing you without you knowing for the last few days.
Yes.
That's, what?
I know.
Well, horrible.
And the thing is, like, you know, you're a young man, right? But this happened to... So the car I've now got was my granddad's, right? My granddad's no longer with us. But about 10 years ago, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's and couldn't drive anymore. So the car sat on his driveway for a while. And then he sort of asked me whether I'd like to buy it off him, which I did. But even when I started to pay for it, I didn't use it for a while, so it sat on his driveway. And he was about 81, 82, right? And the same thing, someone knocked on his door and said, we've noticed this car hasn't moved, would you like to sell it? And it's like, this is an old couple, my nan and granddad. Like, who's spying on them?
It's horrible, isn't it?
It's a horrible thing, mate. It's a horrible thing. So, you know, I'm not happy about people putting things on my car. I don't care if you're trying to drum up business. Don't do that. I'm tempted. There's a phone number on it. I was tempted to phone them. But then I thought, what am I going to do? I'm just going to get into some ridiculous conversation where he was like, well, I'm just trying to drive up some business, mate. And I'd be like, well, don't need things on my car. I didn't damage it. I just put it under the windscreen wiper. And I knew that I wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on, really.
Well, what you could do is you could phone them at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when they're in bed and say, I've noticed your lights have been off for a few hours. Would you like to sell the bulbs?
Yeah, oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Have you ever had anything weird? I'll tell you one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me, and it scared the shit out of me, right? My phone rang at about 12:30 one night, and when you get a phone call that late, your nerves are on end, aren't they?
Yeah, you think, oh God, who's died?
Something awful's happened. So I picked the phone up, I was like, hello? And this voice on the end sort of went, I'm ringing about that money you owe.
What?
And I was like, what? He went, yeah, we're coming around to get it now. And I went, what are you talking about? And he went, yeah, that money you owe us, we're coming around to collect now. And then they hung up. But as they hung up, I heard a little bit of laughing. So I was pretty confident that it was just some people who'd gone through the phone directory or whatever and were just phoning people at random. But I'm not going to lie to you, I sat looking out the window for about 45 minutes just to make sure that nobody was going to turn up at my house demanding monies.
I understand, you know, the prank nature of young teen boys, having been one and having made the occasional prank call myself, but you don't know who you're calling. That could be anyone. You could put the fear of God into someone.
Yeah, well, they did, to be fair. I mean, I'm not going to say that. There was a little bit of me that was scared.
I don't blame you.
So hang on, you say you did prank calls. What sort of prank calls did you used to do?
Oh, I can't remember. Just very much Bart Simpson phoning Moe's type thing.
Oh, you that know, sort of thing.
Nothing that serious. But I would never phone up someone and threaten them. And
who would you phone? Who would you, companies, or would you just phone randoms up?
Random numbers.
Would you?
Yeah, completely random. And I'm not proud of it, but I did it. So the football's back on.
Oh, do you know, I'd forgotten how much I hated football. being an Arsenal supporter, it's not been the greatest start.
I know, I felt bad for you.
I'd sort of forgotten the misery of it all.
Yeah, Fulham lost 2-0 at home the other day, so normal service has resumed.
Yeah, so like, oh, well, that's good, we're back to... I mean, I was so angry when we lost against Brighton that I was just like, just sell a lot of them. When the season's over, just sell every single one of them. None of them are good enough to play. I mean, unbelievable. Anyway, so football is back.
It is, and I watched my first bit of it yesterday, actually, as by time of recording. I watched the Liverpool-Everton game.
Okay, I didn't actually see that one.
No, it was good. I only watched the first half because it was... I was going to say it was good, but it was really quite a dull game.
Well, it was 0-0, wasn't it? I mean, it's not much happening as far as I read.
Very little goal-mouth action going on. But what really struck me as interesting was the crowd noises they've inserted.
Yeah, no, so you watched it with crowd noise.
Well, that I was just told by my friend that it's on Sky One at the moment. And I just flicked it on, and I think the commentator did explain there was a way of turning that off.
Well, you can go to the another channel, because I've been flicking between the two. Because to start with, I didn't like the crowd noises. It was weird having that and an empty stadium. It was playing. It didn't marry up. All the senses weren't working. Do you know what I mean? There's crowd noises, but there isn't anyone there. And it was messing with my head a little bit.
Well, so, I was wondering how authentic they were going to be with it, and if there was just going to be this continuous rumbling of crowd noise. But I was actually really impressed that whoever was manning the buttons on the sound, I mean, obviously they were a nanosecond or two behind, but when there was a close shot that just narrowly missed, you'd get the, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's really quite good. And then I noticed, and my dad explained to me that when he was watching the Fulham game the day before, that they had been piping in songs that the Fulham fans would sing. So
yeah.
It was genuinely like being at the home ground. And I thought, wow, that's impressive. And then I thought, hang on a minute, why and how do they have all of this? Why do they have this back catalogue of all these specific crowd noises?
Well, see, because they've taken them from the FIFA games. So I'm assuming that for the FIFA games, they have recorded over years all the chants at all the grounds, so that when you have those games playing on FIFA, you've got those chants.
I didn't know it was from FIFA.
Yes.
I was starting to think it was a big conspiracy and that the Premier League had known about the coronavirus months before any of us did.
Really? So you were putting your little tinfoil hat on briefly?
I had been, but
wow.
that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all from FIFA. And I think it seems very good. I must admit, I've sort of gone back to it because it's weird without crowd noise as well. But I quite like the fact that you can watch a Premier League game without crowd noise, because those are things that you're never going to experience ever again, hearing what the players are actually saying, especially when they're having a go at the ref.
Well, yes, I've heard apparently as well there have been a couple of instances where the commentators have had to apologise for the very audible swearing.
I'm against them apologising for it.
Why?
Because you've got a football match happening. We all know players swear. There's no crowd. You're going to pick it up. I don't think commentators should have to apologise for it. They're only doing it because Ofcom rules will state, you've got to apologise, otherwise a complaint might be upheld. I say, if you're watching football, and if you don't want to hear them swearing, stick the one with the crowd on.
But you have to bear in mind, somebody might have just tuned in at any point during the game, and if they haven't had any sort of warning that they might be subjected to swearing and they've got little kids in the house...
Football, mate. It's football. I can't believe that people would watch football thinking, well, there's not going to be any swearing. I don't believe it.
Yes, you're possibly right. Maybe I'm being a bit too...
I mean, don't
sensitive.
Get me wrong. I kind of feel that footballers shouldn't need to swear, because I'm a great believer that the referee should be mic'd up as they are in rugby, so we can always hear what he's saying to the players and what the players are saying to him. But part of the reason I don't think they do it is because of the language that footballers use. Rugby players seem to be able to play a game without effing and blinding every 2 minutes at the referee.
But isn't swearing at the referee supposed to be a bookable offence?
Don't bother with that anymore.
Why not?
Well, it's one of those things they just admit defeat with, isn't it? You know, the football authorities sometimes bring in things, and then this is like, well, this is just a battle we're never going to win. We're never going to win the battle of players swearing, so we might as well just leave it. You know, it's supposed to be only the captain that approaches a referee. I mean, when does that ever happen?
That's true.
You know, it's just nonsense. I'll tell you one weird thing about the chanting, though. A couple of my friends who are Spurs fans were watching one of the games the other day, and they sent the message saying, I'm sure I've just heard during the Spurs game some Chelsea chants of keep the blue flag flying high. He says, unless Man United got a similar one, so maybe Man United got a chant like that. And another mate said, yeah, I thought that too. I'm sure there was another chant there that's definitely not a Spurs chant. So I do wonder whether sometimes they're going to get it a little bit mixed up.
Well, talking of the Fulham game, Fulham do have, it's not an official club song, I'm sure I should hasten to add that, because the club wouldn't really want to be associated with it, but Fulham fans do have a song about the blue flag of Chelsea and exactly where to stick it.
Right.
But I'm not sure that would be included in the official FIFA game either.
Well, that's the thing, I wonder if FIFA only takes sort of the well-known clean chants, because you know the sort of chants that go on. I hope FIFA do include some of the, or you should have that option at least.
Yeah, so you can select if you want to hear some slightly abusive
chanting. Yeah. Or, you know, like, you know, the Chelsea chant about the celery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I bet that's not on FIFA, but I reckon you should have that option. Yeah, celery chant on.
For anyone who isn't familiar, Chelsea had a chant about pleasuring women with celery.
Yeah.
And I think it used to finish with them all
celery.
Celery.
Did they used to throw celery as well?
They used to then all throw celery around the ground at each other and stuff. It was madness how it all happened. But I think it even resulted in Chelsea having to officially ban anyone bringing celery into the ground. It's a strange world we live in.
I mean, imagine that as a police search. You know, they normally search you for cans or bottles. just want to make sure you look to carrying any celery, sir. I came across this thing the other day, which I'm tempted to buy. It's a book basically about all the chants that Arsenal have had over the years in the ground.
Okay, that seems like a dull read.
Well, no, because like I was saying, I bet there's some great chants that I'm not aware of, having not really gone to many matches since they moved to the Emirates, because it's out of my price range. But,
but I mean, of all the clubs to get a book on, I mean, Arsenal, famously quiet fans.
Oh, it's still chants, though. Still a lot of chants going on there.
I mean, wasn't your old ground nicknamed Highbury the Library?
Yeah,
it was so quiet.
Yeah, but by jealous opposition who couldn't stand the fact that we were more of a respectable club than the sort of scum that would turn up at Highbury. Do you know what I mean? With their louts, their loutish behaviour and celery. What was the first football match you ever went to?
I can't remember exactly.
Oh, you can't. Oh, perhaps you were just too young.
I think I was very young. I do seem to remember that Fulham lost 3-0 at home and Mike Taylor, the goalkeeper, was sent off. Other than that, I can't really remember exactly who it was.
My first match was Charlton against Arsenal when Charlton were at Selhurst Park, Boxing Day 1988. And
very good memory.
Arsenal won 3-2. And that was the day I was hooked because it was so exciting. So exciting.
Yeah, you see, I was introduced to Fulham. This is the sort of weekly misery you can expect. Get used to it.
When I first went to Highbury, my first game at Highbury, we lost 3-1. I remember crying after that game.
You're a very emotional boy.
I was just a terrible loser. I was a terrible loser. I still am when Arsenal lose. I mean, my fury is now down to about 2 or 3 minutes and then I'm just, oh, fuck it. I'm over it. But it used to last hours, days. I remember well, I've had a couple of extreme reactions. When Arsenal lost the 1991 FA Cup semi-final to Spurs, 3-1, the Gazza free kick and all that, which I still can't watch. I mean, it's a great free kick, but if it comes on the telly, I'm not watching it. Turn it off. But when the third goal went in, I remember I just left the house.
You left the house? You didn't turn the telly off, you just left the house.
I was about 13, I think. I was watching it with my parents, and the third one went in. I was there. I remember I got to the end of the road, and I was just like, I don't really know what I'm going to do now. I've stormed out because I'm so angry. I've walked to the end of the road and now I don't know what I'm going to do. I've now got to go back and do that walk of shame back into the house when my parents are going to go, everything all right now, Trev? Everything all right? Calm down, have you? And the other one was it 1992, I think, when Arsenal lost to Wrexham in the FA Cup.
Right.
And I had all the Arsenal posters on my wall, all my favourite players, loads of them. And I went out, right, I took them all off the wall.
You took them off the wall?
Took all my Arsenal posters down. And this room does not deserve to be a shrine to a team who have just lost to Wrexham. So I've quite enjoyed our weekly games, and I know we're sort of coming out of lockdown, but shall we continue with a game here and there?
I think so.
I've got an idea for a game this week. It's called Ghost.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it. I've never played it, but I like the sound of it.
This is a recipe for disaster.
So here's what you have to do, right? So you form a chain of letters to create a word, okay?
Right.
So you take turns adding letters. So, for example, first player might say T, the second player could say I. Okay. Now, play continues with each person adding one letter to the chain.
Right.
But the player who completes a word loses the round. But you must have a word in mind as you add your letter. And I can challenge you at any point as to what's the word you're thinking of. If I think there's no word that he's going to make out of this, I can say, what word were you thinking of? But you mustn't complete a word. Does that make sense? It's a nice, easy game.
It doesn't sound easy. It sounds confusing, annoying.
It's not confusing. It's very straightforward.
I'll try not to be pessimistic. I'll give it a go and right. I'll hope for the best.
Right, okay. So so do you want to start with a letter?
Okay. So sorry, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to already have a word in mind?
I suppose I could challenge you at this point. It would be churlish of me to do so, but you should
so
probably.
So I have to think of a word that's not going to work, though, because you could depending on what letter you pick, it could go anywhere.
Well, no, that's the thing, right? Because then you have to then think of another word as you add the next letter.
Okay, this doesn't make sense, but S.
Okay. H.
O.
Oh, now, see, this is where it gets tricky. A.
What, S-H-O-A?
You could challenge me.
I'm a bit at a loss. I don't really understand this game.
What do you mean you don't understand? It's an easy game.
I can't think of a single word in the English language that's spelled S-H-O-A.
Okay, well then you probably need to challenge me. Because you're assuming that I've just added a word without added a letter without a word in mind.
I'll plow on. So I'm just going to add a letter, yeah?
Yeah,
but I can't add a letter.
You have to think of a
word. I can't carry on at this point.
Well, this is it. So you either have to challenge me.
But I can't challenge you either because for the same reason.
Well, if you challenge me and I come up with a word, then you lose the round.
But hang on, I thought if you completed the word, you lost the round.
I haven't completed a word.
But when you tell me, you'll have completed the word.
No, I'm thinking of a word that starts S-H-O-A, but I haven't completed a word.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to tap out then. I can't for the life of me think of a single word in the English language which begins S-H-O-A.
So you're challenging me?
I challenge you.
Shoal.
What's a shoal?
As in a shoal of fish.
That's not a word.
It is a
I'm
word.
I'm not having that. I'm opening up.
Shoal.
I'm Googling.
A shoal of fish. It's like a...
That is not a word.
It's the collective noun for fish. A shoal of herring. A shoal of cod.
Shit. Shoal. A large number of fish swimming together.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
It's a good game, isn't it? It's a good game, right?
It's better than I thought, to be fair.
Right, so come on, let's do another one. Right, I'll start this one.
Sorry if you picked up my keyboard smashing there, but
Are you getting feisty about this game already?
By the way, I won't be using Google whilst we play. I'll just be using Google for challenging your ridiculous word.
It's not a ridiculous word. It's a well-known word. If you don't know the collective noun for, I mean, I don't think all fish move in shoals. Some move in schools, do they not?
Whatever you say.
Or maybe a pod. You have your pod of dolphins, don't you?
Yes, I've heard of that.
School of fish.
Right, on with it. You start this time.
Right, okay. B.
R.
E.
Is this a fish word again?
What do you mean, is it a fish word again?
Where are we at? B-R-E.
B-R-E.
This is surprisingly tricky, this game. A.
B-R-E-A. Okay. It's difficult because I can't complete a word either. So this is where it gets tricky. B-R-E-A. C.
Damn. H.
You've completed a word, breach.
No, it's not the word I was thinking of.
It doesn't matter, you completed a word.
It's not the word I was thinking of. You never said that in the rules.
No, I said the rules. You can't complete a word. You've completed a word.
No. You said you can't complete the word you're thinking of.
No. If you complete any word.
Don't you me after I've no.
If you complete any word, you lose the round.
That was not clear in the outsetting of the player. Can I change my letter then?
The player who completes a word loses the round. However, players must have a word in mind as they add a letter. That was the rules. I read it out verbatim. Very clear.
Oh, so I've lost again.
I can't believe you're getting so upset about it.
Well, I feel like I've had the carpet pulled from under me there. But
go on then. Right, you go again. You start. It's 2-0 in this particular set.
E,
okay. L.
You've completed a word.
What, L?
L.
Right, I'm going to look up L.
The Spanish word for the.
What are Spanish?
You didn't clarify what language, did you now?
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, this is just ridiculous. You can't just suddenly have Spanish words there.
You never said that in the rules.
Oh, man. I don't... Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I'll that was petulant. I'll carry on.
Basically, if this was a board game, that's the equivalent of just chipping it up. Or taking your ball home.
Am I allowed to Google just to check the spelling of a word I want to use?
I'll allow it. I mean, it's okay. Yeah, I'll allow that. It's fine.
ELO.
Okay.
Or have I lost because I've completed the initials to a band?
No, that's not in the rules. I mean, I'm sure LO is like a, you know, hello, mate. It might be, LO might be in the dictionary, but I'm not challenging.
Carry on.
P.
Oh, hang on. You're forcing me into a word here. I'm buggered. I can't carry on.
Well, I mean, this is not my fault, is it?
ELOP. Oh, shit. I'm going to have to lose this one as well, because I can't think of another word that starts with ELOP that isn't elope.
Okay.
Or is that allope? No, you elope, don't you?
You elope, yes.
Yes. I don't want to cheat or anything, but can you think of another word that could get me out of this jam?
Yes, I could, yes.
Really? Oh, that's fucking annoying.
Yes, I can think of another word.
Oh, fuck it, I lose. Elope. I'm sorry. Oh. E-L-O-P-E.
I mean, if you just thought that a little bit harder, you could have just done eloping.
Oh, shit! No, hang on then, because then I'd have said I, you'd have said N, and I'd have had to have said G, so I'd have still lost anyway. So I was just putting the game out of its misery. So I was in the supermarket the other day.
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke. Unfortunately, it's a true story.
Right.
And as I had finished up paying at the self-service checkout, keeping my distance from everybody.
Of course.
I walked past an elderly gentleman who stopped me. And he said, excuse me, I was wondering, would you have 9p on you?
Oh.
I'm 9p short. I thought I'd worked my money out, and I've put it in, my coins in, and I'm 9p short for my loaf of bread. And I thought, fuck him. No, I didn't really. I thought, yeah, why not? I thought, pass on a little bit of goodwill in the world.
Old fella, how old do you think he was?
I would have said he was in his mid-70s.
Right, okay. Did he like have, was he like shirt and tie man? What was he wearing? What was his outfit like?
I wouldn't like to judge for what he was wearing, but he I would say politely, he looked a little dishevelled.
Right, okay. Just trying to get a mental picture of the man.
It's this picture a man who can't afford a loaf of bread.
Right, okay.
or who can't work out the price of a loaf of bread before he gets to the till. So I thought, oh, to hell with it. You know, it's not the most generous thing in the world, 9p, is it? I'm not going to pat myself on the back for that. But I thought, what it is, it's a nice little gesture. He might leave the shop thinking, someone's done something nice for me.
Yeah.
I might do something nice for someone else.
Pass it on. You're the start of a chain of kindness.
That's exactly what I was hoping for. So yes. I did the old contactless. I said, there you go, mate. And he said, oh, thank you so much.
How did contactless give him 9p?
Well, because he was using a self-service till. So I just contactless thing and hit my card against the reader for the additional 9p.
Oh, I mean, risky. Kudos to you for doing it with your card. I mean, you know, if someone asks me for 9p, I'll give them 9p in change. But the moment a card comes in, I'm still of that generation where I just think, oh, no.
No, I think it was pretty safe. So I did that, and then I thought, I hope that puts him in a good mood. I've done my little good deed for the day. He can go on, and maybe he'll spread it on. And I'm not suggesting this would result in world peace, but maybe...
Yeah, I mean, that's a far-fetched thing, isn't it?
Maybe a bit of goodwill will ripple through the world. Who knows?
Yeah.
It lasted for all of 4 seconds.
Why? What happened?
He got to the front door... And he wanted to leave Sainsbury's with his loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And the guy at the door said, excuse me, sir, if you could just wait there for a minute, we're letting a few people in before we're letting people out. To which I was hoping he'd say, certainly, no problem.
Yeah.
He didn't. He said, oh, this is really stupid. And the guy at the door said, it's only going to be for a couple of seconds, and then you can be out.
Yeah.
He said, no, this is really fucking stupid.
Oh, brilliant.
I mean, this is really fucking stupid now. And someone standing next to me decided to interject.
Right.
And they said, why is it stupid? You know, someone who's quite sensibly realising this is for everyone's safety and you only have to be delayed by all of a few seconds.
Yeah.
And this enraged the man with the bread. And he turned around.
Please tell me he used the bread as a weapon.
Unfortunately, he didn't. Oh. I mean, if he was going to do that as a proper weapon, he'd have had to toast it first.
It wasn't like a baguette they could use as a sort of sword.
No, so that would have been brilliant. But no, sadly not. He turned to the man who challenged him as to why this was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, so you don't know the facts, do you?
Oh, he's got facts. I love it when there's facts involved. What are the facts? Did he present the facts?
Again, sadly, he never really shared what the facts were.
Oh.
But he wielded the facts like he wielded his bread.
Wow.
The guy said, no, I'm just asking why you think this is stupid. And he said, oh, you don't know the facts, do you? And then he turned and he just glared at everyone who was waiting to be let out of the shop, including me, who just... coughed up 9p for him.
Right, he didn't try and get you involved. I thought maybe because you'd had that bonding moment at the till, perhaps he might have brought you into the conversation. No?
And he said, none of you know the facts, do you?
Oh.
Fools! Fucking fools! And then, thankfully, the guy at the door, I think, just said, right, you can go now.
Wow.
He walked off muttering to himself about the fools and the facts and... I think he was implying there was some big conspiracy and we'd all been hoodwinked into falling into line about the coronavirus.
Wow.
But I thought, good God. And to the guy's credit on the door, as I walked past him, I said, thanks very much, as I like to do to the supermarket staff. And he said, oh, that's all right, mate. You can go and learn about the facts now.
So, I mean, I wish someone had asked him what the facts were. It seems that in East Grinstead, you're not very inquisitive.
Well, there was a part of me, a small part, because 95% of me was thinking, get as far away from this nutcake as you possibly can. But there was 5% of me that wanted to sort of chase up to him and sort of say, hello, mate, I was your mate in the store. Remember, I helped you out with your bread?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, it seems there are facts about the coronavirus that I don't know about, and I'd love for you to tell me and let me know the truth.
It could have been a long conversation, though, couldn't it?
Well, that put me off, and I thought he's obviously a bit odd, this man, to put it politely, and I thought he might turn on me, so I thought, at the moment I'm his friend, I'd rather leave it that way, but... you've got to be careful who you help out in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you've still done good. Do you know what I mean?
I have, but it didn't pay off in the sort of help the world way I hoped it might.
Well, you say, I mean, the thing is, I think because he's, what do you call it, his heckles were up. Is it heckles or hackles?
I never know.
Anyway, he had something up, right? And because of that, he didn't impart the facts with you. Now, had he imparted what facts he had, the knowledge that he holds that the rest of us at the stage don't have, that could have been his passing on of kindness, because he could have told you something that could have been so monumental and so life-changing.
You think that maybe just letting us know there were facts that we need to know about was him passing it on?
Well, I wish he'd given a little bit more detail, but maybe, because maybe it's you've got to go out and look further into the facts. I mean, have you Googled coronavirus true facts?
I haven't. I've already had my tinfoil hat moment with the football sound effects. I think I'll leave it there.
Now, anyone that's had children at home, some have gone back to school now, of course, and this week they've said, come September, come what may, all children will go back to school.
Did they say come what may?
Well, you might as well have done. I think basically Boris has sort of said, go to school, go to school.
Basically, but come what may, so despite the fact we might in September have, you know, the height of a second wave of coronavirus, everyone's back to school. Come on, mate. To hell with it. Oh, good.
So obviously kids have been doing homeschooling. So I was talking to a few of my friends who've got kids at home, and they're all coping differently. You know, I'm sure everyone's got their own experience. Some kids are getting on all right with it. Another friend of mine, her son, basically he's supposed to have done all this work where every day he sets some stuff that he's supposed to go and read and then answer questions on those things.
Okay.
Turns out he's not actually been reading the stuff. He's just been going straight to the questions and just guessing. And and over the weeks, the teachers have cottoned on to this and got in touch with her and said, yeah, we don't think he's actually doing the work properly. So she's had to crack the whip a little bit. So, you know, some kids have found it very difficult. I think I would have struggled being at a home school all the time.
Yeah, I think it would be hard for me to be able to concentrate on work at home with all the distractions and TV and stuff. I think I've probably done the same thing as your friend's kid.
So I've been talking to people, and one of my friends said, well, here's an idea that her friend's friend is one of those, like, my friend's friend kind of things, right? So what they'd done is their kids didn't want to do their schoolwork, but were becoming very, very demanding about wanting certain sweets and treats throughout the day, right? And it was almost getting sort of a pain in the ass, frankly, right? So what the parents did was they went online and they found a very old, going fairly cheap, vending machine.
Okay.
And then they filled the vending machines up with all the treats the kids had been demanding and said to them, right, well, what we'll do is once you've done the work you're supposed to do, all the schoolwork you're supposed to do, then we will give you whatever the 10p, whatever it is, to get one treat out of the vending machine.
It's quite an ingenious idea. I admire them for their creativity, but could you not have done the same thing without having to buy a vending machine?
I think the use of a vending machine is much more of an incentive than just the treat.
Do you think so?
I rarely use a vending machine. But the thing about a vending machine is it's full of excitement and risk.
Yeah, no, to me, vending machines are full of irritation because you can put your money in and then the bag of crisps gets stuck.
Well, that's the risk, isn't it? Because most of the time, in my experience, you never get what you've paid for because it gets stuck halfway. The money I've lost in vending machines over the years, because, you know, I can't be bothered to sort out trying to get it. I just give up in the end. So, I've lost a pound or whatever it is, and that's it, you know, especially at train stations. I don't know if they have them at train stations these days, but when I started work, when I was about 17, 18, occasionally I'd want to get a bottle of Coke or something out of the vending machine at the station. And my local station, I learned my lesson after a few times. It was just shit, this vending machine. I'm sure there was some racket going on because nothing, no bottle of Coke would ever come out of this fucking thing. And it was a pound for a bottle of Coke. So it wasn't cheap.
No.
Especially when I was earning £35 a week. Like, that was...
Good God.
Quite a percentage of my weekly wage on a bottle of Coke.
It's like extortionate.
And I wouldn't get the Coke out. You could have gone to the counter and said, excuse me, vending machine. I couldn't be doing with that. So I'd let it go. And I must have done it about 4 or 5 times before I learned my lesson that this vending machine never works. But, you know, there is that moment, isn't it, where the sort of coiled thing moves.
Yes,
you,
yeah.
And you see whatever it is, you know, you've put E6, it's a packet of Chew-Its, and it's, is it? No? Yeah? There's that moment, isn't there? But when it does fall, the joy. The joy when it falls. It's so exhilarating, isn't it?
So, like I say, it's a nice touch, but it's not the most practical advice in the world, is it? I mean, if you live up on the 19th floor of a block of flats with no lift...
Yeah.
And a vending machine must weigh a ton and be the size of a wardrobe.
But I reckon, I'm not saying it's the ideal solution for every parent who's having this issue. What I am saying, here's my advice, okay? If you're asking me, if you do live on the 9th floor and there's no lifts, don't get a vending machine. You know, it's a bit like don't buy a jukebox if you live up there, get an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Find what works for you.
Yeah, I do think it's a slightly unnecessary way, but I do see it could add an element of fun.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing about vending machines is some of the weird things you can get in vending machines. But I see the vending machine as a thing that's dying out in this country. I don't see many vending machines.
No, I see them at train stations and things like that, but not many other places.
No. I think, funny enough, the last time I used a vending machine, I was with you, and it didn't fucking work.
It's also, when you think about it, it's quite a nice life lesson. Since we are supposed to be schooling the kids, it is a life lesson that sometimes you put in all the work, you get your reward for it, you get your money, and then you go and put your money in the machine... And sometimes you still get disappointed.
That's it.
It's a little life lesson.
It's a life lesson. Quite
it's
right.
It's a brilliant metaphor.
So in Germany, right, so there's weird things that go in vending machines elsewhere in the world. So in Germany, sausages are a massive thing in vending machines. Yeah. That would be a better vending machine than, I don't want a packet of Quavers, I want a Bratwurst. Do you know what I mean? That would be an amazing thing. They all kinds of sausages they've got in a vending machine.
Yeah, that would be good.
In Japan, they have some very odd things in vending machines.
Do they?
Horned beetles.
Oh.
They are...
See, that would be a machine I would hope would malfunction on me. I wouldn't want that.
Well, it depends, because they're considered both good luck and a fun playing thing in Japan. And I think they are live. They're live beetles.
What?
So they're in, like, these little containers in the vending machines, and then you can get this live beetle.
But how do they live?
Well, I'm assuming somebody every day comes and puts a little bit of food in for them. I don't know.
No. I don't like that. No.
Okay. Used panties. Now,
what sort of perverse machine is this?
The weird thing is they're not actually used panties. They haven't been used. The company have designed them to look used, but you can buy them from vending machines.
Oh.
I mean, the tourists love it. Because, I mean, imagine that, right? If I went to Japan, I would probably buy a pair and come home and say, look, I bought some used panties from a vending machine. And then I'd work out which of my mates is the real pervert. Because one of them, one of my mates, you know, there's always one in one group will go, yeah, I'll have them. There'll be one. Maybe this is more up your street. Lettuce. It's a more healthy vending machine.
No. I mean, who's buying lettuce from a vending machine? How are they keeping that fresh?
Flying fish soup.
I don't even know what to say to that one.
Live puppies. What I should tell you about these is there's not a mechanical delivering system. They're just in little...
No, I didn't think for a second they'd skewered them on the end of those coils, did I? I mean,
and they don't fall down to the tray. Oh. It's just it looks like a vending machine with puppies in that they have in the front of some pet shops, and you can sort of pick the one you want. like that.
Oh, I don't like that.
No. Okay. Fair enough. And they also, I mean, you can't, there's one with like sex toys and accessories. I mean, yeah. And then there's one that they have in Japan, which is just mystery boxes. You don't know what you're going to get, but you go to the vending machine, you put some money in, who knows what you're going to get.
Now that sounds intriguing.
You'd have a go at that?
Just once, just okay. For the intrigue.
All right, yeah.
Well, I'd probably end up being horrified.
You'd probably end up with a used panty. Ready for another round of Ghost?
Well, I don't know. I'm 3-0 down in the game.
We can bring it back to 3-all. Let's do another 3 rounds. You could tie the game.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll try.
Or I could go for a 6-0 drubbing here. Right. Now, are you clear on the rules? Have we got, you know, we've played one round of it or 3 rounds of it. Are you clear?
Yes, I think having now played it, I am familiar with the rules. And it's not as bad a game as I thought it was when you described it.
No, it's a very good game.
Right, let's do it.
Okay, do you want to start?
Okay. P.
Okay. R.
O.
Oh, is that not a word? Pro?
I would argue it's an abbreviation of a word.
Okay, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go, only because I'm 3 up. if this was closer, I'd be challenging that. Okay. P-R-O. L.
Again, I just want to clarify, I don't want to be accused of cheating, but yeah. Am I allowed to, if I've already got a specific word I'm thinking of,
yeah.
Can I check the spelling of it?
Yeah, I'll let that, check the spelling, that's fine.
Okay, bear with me. So where are we at? P-R-O-L?
Yes.
Okay, I.
Okay. P-R-O-L-I. Oh, gosh, where are we going to go with this? P-R, what have we got so far?
I think what I've done is, I've moved you into the ghost equivalent of checkmate. P-R-O-L-I.
P-R-O-L-I. Yeah, see, I can think of a word, but I've got to try and avoid getting to the end of it. That's the problem I've got.
Oh, hang on a minute, I've just worked out a way you can win.
Okay.
But I'm not going to tell you.
P-R-O-L-I. Okay, F.
Challenge.
You're challenging me.
I'm challenging you. You're thinking of the word proliferate.
No, I'm not.
Oh, shit.
I'm thinking of the word prolific.
Fiddlesticks. Have I just lost now?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's 4-0 to me. 4-0 to me. I'm banging this game.
You are prolific at the game.
So what word were you thinking of?
Proliferate. I thought I'd led you down this garden path of having to go with that word, and I was going to challenge you immediately, as I did.
Yeah.
But I had forgotten that prolific is also
a word. What did you think? So you thought I was going to say proliferate?
That's where I thought I was forcing you to go, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Damn.
Right, okay. Well, let's do another round, even though I've won.
You have won.
Let's just...
I'd like to get one under my belt.
Okay.
A consolation goal.
R.
U.
S.
T.
That's a word, rust.
Oh, shit!
Come on, Ben! Come on! It's so easy!
Bad.
Open goals!
I just thought, again, I'm being too clever. I was hoping you were going to challenge me for the word rustle, and I was going to be saying, no, it's rustling.
Oh.
And I was going to win, but I accidentally spelled a fucking word.
Right! Let's do one more.
I hate this game!
Right, one more. You go. Go on.
I actually like the game. I just hate how bad I am at it. Okay, T.
Okay. R.
Right, be careful. Don't spell a word. U.
Okay. S.
S.
Trust is a word.
Is it?
You trust something, don't you? It's like tying something up to trust something up.
I was trying to force you to get to the word trussle. Is truss a word? Excuse my typing. Oh, bollocks!
Oh.
I've lost again.
Oh, 6-0, mate. 6-0.
I'm appalling at this game.
Well, that's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, can I just say what a joyful week it's been with Katie Hopkins being thrown off Twitter.
Permanently banned.
I know.
Violating the rules.
I know. There is the argument, of course, that by banning her, it's a sort of, it's not good for free speech, but it's Katie Hopkins.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I was looking up some of the things that she said in the past, most of which I'm not happy to repeat.
Yes, that's fine with me.
But one of the ones that I really enjoyed was when she was on This Morning discussing children's names. Do you know this story?
I do. This is absolutely brilliant.
So she was on, and she was basically being really quite nasty about...
Was she?
Yeah.
That's not like her.
So she said that basically your name says most things people need to know about you. So she said, a name for me is a short way of working out what class that child comes from. Does it matter what class a child comes from, by the way, love? I mean, you know,
no.
Class shouldn't be playing too much of a role in life these days. Unfortunately, it does. And then she says, do I want my child to play with them? I mean, honestly. And then she went on to say, when I hear, hi, this is my daughter Charmaine, what I actually hear is, hi, I'm thick and ignorant. Unbelievable. And then she went on to say how much she hated geographical names, obviously like Brooklyn for Beckham, you know, and those sort of things, Paris. And then it was pointed out to her that one of her daughters is called India. And her response was, that's not related to a place.
No such place as India.
Just the seventh biggest country in the world, the second biggest country in the world by population. No, but it's not related to a place at all. Unbelievable. So I'm sort of hoping this is the end. I mean, she'll always find some outlet, and that's fine. I suppose we can appease those people who think that she should be able to say what she wants when she wants. I kind of think that's right, but I don't want to... being too vocal in a too wider sphere of influence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sort of hoping it's the end of her. She can just crawl back under a rock and disappear. Do you know who I likened to Katie Hopkins this week?
Go on.
This is in my little football discussion group. We were talking about Roy Keane. His name popped up because he'd been having a go at the Manchester United goalkeeper. Did you all see any of this?
I saw it, yeah. He went off on one, didn't he?
And he basically said that he would be swinging punches at him.
Yeah, and he'd have to get a taxi back. He wouldn't be allowed back on the team coach.
Yeah, yeah. So people in my group were sort of discussing it or commenting on it, because I hate Roy Keane with a passion. I hate him as a player.
Hate is a strong word.
No, I hate him.
Sorry, footballer.
So I said, he only gets on TV because of the shit that comes out of his mouth. He was a thug on the pitch and no better off it, offers no analysis and just rants like the deranged dick he's always been. The Katie Hopkins of the football world, wish he would just piss off.
Oh, wow.
I finished it with just need to get it off my chest. Rant over. We normally do some recommendations. I must admit, I haven't really watched that much new this week. The only thing I have watched is a drama that's a couple of years old about the Waco siege.
Ooh.
Do you know the David Koresh thing of years ago, 1993, I think it was?
Yeah, I don't know much about it. All I know is that it surprised me to learn that it went on for days.
51 days it went on for.
Wow.
Yeah, 51. And it's still disputed now as to what happened at the end, who started the fires. So it's a great watch as a drama, and there's also a good documentary you can find on YouTube with a bit more information. So that's about the only recommendation I can have this week. Unfortunately, I haven't watched much new.
No, I haven't either, really. I've just been sticking to my usual stuff this week.
But you did listen to the one I recommended last week, the Miriam Margolyes podcast, didn't you?
I did. Miriam Margolyes on Louis Theroux's... Oh, what's
Louis Theroux's? Louis Theroux's.
Louis Theroux's... I've forgotten the name of his podcast.
Grounded,
there.
I think it's
Grounded,
called.
That's it. Louis Theroux's, I'm sticking with it, Grounded podcast. And you were right. She's a very interesting lady.
She's a character, isn't she? Like, nothing's off limits.
No, nope. Absolutely nothing.
I love you sent me a message yesterday saying, I've just listened to it. She's certainly not backwards about coming forward. I was going to say she doesn't beat around the bush, but... So if you haven't listened to that yet, do listen to that. But thank you very much for listening and downloading. You can get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. We do love to hear from you. And we will catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye. We'll be right back.